And welcome to another edition of the Swarmcast. David Eichel here with HawkeyeInsider.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. I mean, a few things to get into today. It's been an absolutely crazy past 96 hours with obviously the coronavirus effectively canceling college sports for the remainder of the academic year, recruiting on hold. There's just a whole lot to get into. But before we get into that, I do want to mention that at least for the next 2 days, Hawkeye Insider and 24/7 Sports is offering a 60% off annual discount for an annual subscription to Hawkeye Insider and 24/7 Sports. Just over 10 cents a day gets you all the latest in Iowa Hawkeye coverage, VIP recruiting updates, in-depth analysis, exclusive mailbags, the works. Just because there's no news coming out, no games to be covered, there's going to be a whole lot of content coming out from us. We are not going to slow down. And supporting local journalism would just mean a lot to us. So consider that. If you have any questions, feel free to tweet at me at David Eichel, DavidEichholt. And if you just want to try it out for a month, $1 for your first month. Appreciate your support. Wow. I mean, this is just something that's really unfathomable, I think. Just the way the last 96 hours have unfolded. I mean, absolutely craziness. I'll just give you a little bit of a brief overview how everything went down. I have no plans for this podcast outside. We're just going to roll with the punches and see how long this goes. But yeah, so, you know, I got obviously up to Indianapolis, I believe Wednesday afternoon, just before the games really got started, got settled in, wrote a couple stories, went off to a restaurant that was close to my hotel. And at that point, just it was so eerie and just everything going on with the, obviously, like I said, the coronavirus. I've never just seen anything so profound expand in that short of time. Just every second, every minute just felt like it was getting worse. Obviously, the NCAA is saying that there was going to be no fans in attendance for the NCAA tournament. And that already seemed unfathomable in itself and so shocking. But then the whole thing with Oklahoma City and the Utah Jazz when Rudy Gobert wasn't on the court, but I believe he was on the sidelines or something, wasn't going to play because he was feeling ill. And literally a minute and a half before tip-off, one of the Thunderhead medical experts ran out to the officials and the announcer and said, hey, we got to stop the game. So teams went to the locker room. They quarantined them for hours, and it turned out that Rudy Gobert had the coronavirus. And I think at that point, everyone kind of started to see a trend of where this was going. And the really weird part about it was they kept the fans in there for a while before they canceled it. Obviously, like I said, the teams had remained in the locker room for a long while. And then the NBA announced it was suspending the rest of the season while the Dallas Mavericks were playing in a game as well, and that game finished. So that was just really weird. And we did get a chance to talk with Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren. And it was just, first of all, I'm a big fan of Kevin Warren. The way he articulates himself, how transparent he is, he does not dodge questions. I've been very impressed with him. I think everyone else, most people in the media and coaches and players I've talked to are as well. I think it's worth knowing, too, he was asked about the possibility of the NCAA tournament being canceled. He said that he really didn't have an opinion about it. The higher-ups would decide that. But he did talk to Mark Emmert, the NCAA, head of the NCAA, and just basically told him what the statement he was sending out before they canceled it. But let's take a step back from that. Let's talk about the day that really everything unraveled. So obviously the NBA suspended its season. I had a feeling the Big Ten was going to be canceled. I didn't know about every other tournament. I did think it was as a possibility, but you know, it's hard to really grasp it at that point. So I was up till about 3:30 a.m. monitoring Twitter, talking to some people, because I'm trying to figure out if there even was going to be a tournament. And at that point, you know, in case there was a tournament, it was going to be a potentially long week, I think, at least would have lasted another day or two how far I believe Iowa would have been able to go. I said, all right, I'm going to get some sleep. I slept for about 2.5 hours, woke up at 6. Obviously, John Rothstein was tweeting out if tournaments were still going on. The Big Ten, obviously, they said they were, and I had a couple people confirm that to me I was talking to. And I'm like, all right, well, it's going to be really interesting, kind of eerie, to go into the arena, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and just see everything unfold. I mean, it was only going to be family there, a very, very select few. And I'll say this, it was supposed to be a 25-minute drive from my hotel to Bankers Life Fieldhouse. I got there in about 8.5 minutes going the speed limit and everything. That's just how dead it was in downtown Indianapolis and to even get there. So that RA kind of, you know, raised the red flag a little bit of what's actually about to happen. I got in, I took the elevator down, checked in, everything like that. I got on the court. I was not on the court for more than 30 seconds at most before everything started unraveling. I saw on Twitter, okay, they canceled the tournament after Michigan and Rutgers players left the court after they warmed up. And then obviously they said it over the speaker. Some people are trying to gather their stuff. Some people wanted to take pictures on the court, you know, and all that. Security rushed us out immediately. They would not let us take pictures of anything. They would basically said, you guys got to get out of here, go to the practice court. And we didn't even know if the Big Ten commissioner, Kevin Warren, was going to be able to speak with us or not. We saw he was doing an interview on Big Ten Network with Andy Katz. We tuned into that. And then they said Kevin Warren would address the media about 10 minutes later. And he did. And after the press conference, they said, all right, well, you can only be in here for an hour before we have to get you guys out of here. You know, at that point, it does kind of make your skin crawl. It makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable just because there's nobody there. And they're trying to rush us out. And it's not like, you know, that they're afraid of a storyline. They weren't afraid of anything. They were just trying to get us out so they could, I don't know, quarantine the place or clean up or something. And it was just so eerie being in that big a place with all the chaos going on social media and, you know, throughout the country and the world. Just really made your skin crawl. Kind of just a cold feeling. It's hard to explain. It was just absolutely insane. So I got out of there. I talked to some people. I came back, wrote a few more stories. Obviously, a few hours later, the Big Ten canceled the remainder of the competition for the semester. The NCAA canceled the tournament. And, you know, it's effectively sports are just going to be shut down for the next long time, at least for the foreseeable future. And it's a tough deal. Obviously, everything is in place to contain the virus and protect people. I know people are going to want to make jokes about social media and all these other things. And I get it. It keeps stuff lighthearted. But when entire countries are literally locking down to try to contain this virus that nobody knows about, I think 99% of people are in the same boat. They get it. This is what's best. Putting people's health above, you know, effectively, it is a game. But we're all so passionate about the game. And that's what makes it hard for us sometimes to justify that. And, you know, I'm not getting on a big soapbox tangent here, but I do want to explain a couple thoughts. One, I know the death rate is obviously very low from what we've seen of this virus, and people talk about it only affects people with diabetes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With respiratory issues and older people, I mean, does it really matter who it affects? You're trying to protect people. And the point is, you might be okay if you get it. You probably will be. But what if you come in contact with one of that 3%, somebody in a nursing home? It could be your grandfather, father, or somebody else did. And they inexplicably gave, you know, didn't mean to. But what if they gave them the virus? Then you're on the other side of that. It doesn't matter who it affects. It's affecting people. And that's why people need to take it seriously. I mean, I'm all for jokes and people bulk buying toilet paper, which I'll never understand for the life of me, by the way. Whatever. But it's about containing the virus so we can effectively get rid of it and protect our country's most vulnerable. We always talk about how the oldest people are the wisest and we need to respect our elders. Based on the response with some of these people and the way they're viewing this virus, they really don't. So I'm not going to go on a tangent. If you do that and you make jokes, I mean, I'm all for memes and I'm all for trolling. I'm all for jokes. I mean, it's what makes the internet the best and the worst place on the internet. But anyway, aside from that, just a completely eerie feeling. I was excited to kind of be on the court with, if the tournament actually did happen, just for the family to be there, the media to be there. It was almost going to be like basketball at its purest form without a big crowd, but high-level intense basketball. And I honestly, I really wanted to hear what Fran said. I really wanted to hear what, you know, Patino would have said when we'd be able to effectively hear every word that that they were going to say throughout the course of the game, because we were going to be right behind the benches. And it would have been really cool to see and to write about and articulate to you guys who couldn't be there. So yeah, it's a very unfortunate thing, obviously, but you know, it's what's best. And like I said, Hawkeye Insider and the rest of the sports world, we're going to churn ahead. We're going to keep putting out content. It's not going to slow down. And we're excited for the future. But let's kind of dive into a couple Iowa topics. And I just wrote a column about this. You can see it on my Twitter or on HawkeyeInsider.com or Hawkeyes on 24/7 on Facebook. It's a really unfortunate ending, obviously, for many teams around the country. I'm not solely zoning in on Iowa when I say this, but I'm going to use the team that I cover as an example. Luka Garza's historic season, the best in Iowa history, I'm proclaiming it, deserved a better send-off. He deserved to play under the bright lights. He deserved to have the nation's eyes on him, because we talked about this last week. All the nation's eyes are on Obi Toppin and, you know, his, you know, rim-shaking dunks, his highlight reel material. It's a much sexier version and much more attractive version of basketball to younger viewers than Luka Garza's game, because that's just not the way Luka Garza plays basketball. Luka Garza, with all the all the hype that national pundits have given him, there would have been all the eyes of the world on Luka Garza and the Iowa Hawkeyes in the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament, because they wanted to see what the hype was about. And Luka Garza, remember this, he broke out during last year's NCAA tournament. He averaged 16.5 points in two games. Okay, John Rothstein tweeted about him multiple times. A lot of people thought he'd take that next step up. Wasn't a first-team preseason All-Big Ten guy, but probably a second or third team. People expected a nice jump. Obviously, nobody expected him to do what he did this year. They expected a jump. Luka Garza deserved to go out the way he came in, with hard work, grit, toughness, determination, and for him to be able to drop probably 20 points for, I don't know, the 1,000th time in a row this season. It's a very unfortunate ending to what was the best season in Iowa history, and he deserved to go out the way he came in. In addition to that, you got to feel for guys like, I mean, think of Bakari Evelyn, started his career at Nebraska, went to Valparaiso, then grad transferred to Iowa because he wanted to be ranked. He wanted a shot to go far in the NCAA tournament. He wanted to play against top-tier competition. And he really started to play his best basketball late in the season. You know, and keep in mind, too, Evelyn really came up clutch late in the year. Played some of his best games when Iowa needed him, you know, at most. Think of the Cincinnati game at 15 points, made some big shots. And his very last shot of his Iowa career, depending on, obviously, if the NCAA grants an extension, you know, another year of eligibility for, like, Ryan Kreener or Bakari Evelyn. But second of all, who knows if either one of those guys would want to come back for another season. I mean, you know, they make all these plans during the course of the year. And, you know, granted, you know, who knows what will happen. That's a discussion for another day. Bakari Evelyn's last shot was with just over 2 minutes left against Illinois at Illinois. Took a big, big boy shot. I mean, from the corner, still a decent amount of time on the shot clock. Iowa down 7. Iowa needs a bucket. cans the three to bring Iowa back within four and kept Iowa's hopes of a very nice comeback alive. So, you know, with all he wanted to accomplish and play in the NCAA tournament, probably a lifelong dream, it just, due to unfortunate circumstances, it didn't work out. Think of Ryan Kreener. Just a couple weeks ago, Ryan Kreener was talking with us and somebody asked him, you know, what season's your favorite? I mean, Iowa was an overtime away from making a Sweet 16 last year. This year, Ryan got his most playing time ever. He was, you know, a top candidate for the conference's Sixth Man of the Year, averaging most points, rebounds, and really, I think, started to become more beloved by the fan base. They always loved him, but just the energy and leadership he brought was just captivating. And, you know, it's another thing, too. Those in-state kids are so different. Ryan Kreener grew up wanting to wear the black and gold. He grew up wanting to, you know, wear that, don that Tiger Hawk. And, you know, you saw it in his senior day when he went to all four corners of the arena to, you know, with his jersey and just shined it up at them, got an applause. You could tell he was extremely, you know, he's emotional. A lifelong dream being fulfilled, but now I guess last season might be his favorite because they went farther in the NCAA tournament, and that's what he said. Whatever, we have the most team success, that's my favorite year. And it's just a really unfortunate ending for him. You could go on and on with the list. I think of another guy that maybe some other people won't. Connor McCaffrey, redshirt sophomore, took an absolute shellacking by everybody on Twitter and social media and the fan base last year because he wasn't a good enough three-point shooter. He was playing a little bit out of position. He was, you know, really playing his first healthy basketball in 2 years because keep in mind, he had mono and an ankle injury the year before. So it was kind of an unfair deal, but he became really that big-time leader, that glue guy for Iowa. Fans did a complete 180. He was extremely loved by the fan base, I think, by the end of the year. I think a lot of people really backed off him. He was shooting the outside shot better. He was leading, being, you know, toughest guy on the court, playing four different positions, which I think people really started to understand how tough that is. That is not an easy task. He's a 6'5", maybe 6'6" on a good day or wearing the right shoes, guarding 6'9" guys and not moving an inch from them, despite them outweighing him by maybe 30, 40 pounds. He's a tough kid. He might be the toughest kid on Iowa's team. Which is no slight to anyone else, but that's just who Connor is. If there's a perfect guy that is a coach's son that is capable of taking all the, you know, criticism that maybe some of it is warranted, some of it's not, it's him because he just does not care. You know, again, I could go on and on with the list, but I think it's worth remembering. Don't see this season as lost. Iowa should be identified this season as a team with heart, grit, toughness, and unbelievable fight. It was in their DNA. There were games this year where, you know, me watching Iowa and covering them for the past couple of years, you know, watching them, you know, in my Big Ten life, watching Big Ten basketball, there were games in the past that if they were played this year with past teams, they would have faltered. They would have completely given up. I can't look at one game this year where Iowa just said, nope, we're done. Granted, there were some blowouts, but they still, like, there's a difference between getting blown out and fighting and getting blown out and just not looking like you want to be there. I don't think there was ever a time this year where Iowa just did not want to be there. Iowa fought. They made big boy comebacks. They made big shots. They didn't shy away from the moment. It was in their DNA. They never lost three games in a row this season. They lost back-to-back, I believe, three or four times. But they fought back. All the adversity. Jordan Bohannon electing to go, you know, get hip surgery. Jack Nungy's torn ACL. Patrick McCaffrey dealing with residual health effects from, you know, he had cancer, I believe, when he was 14 years old. It's definitely an unfortunate ending to what was, I think, a very, very fun Iowa team. But I won't get too far into 2020, 2021, but I will briefly mention it.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
As good as Iowa was or could have potentially been this year in a run in the NCAA tournament, there's going to be expectations next year. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to start with me. It's not going to start from other media members. But I think fans have a very, very good reason to be excited. And I don't say this without really thinking about it. If, and it's a big if everybody comes back, Jordan Bohannon returns, Luka Garza returns, Joe Wieskamp returns, Jack Nungy's healthy. This is the potential starting five. And again, I don't know what Fran's going to do. It might look completely different a year from now. Jordan Bohannon, CJ Frederick, Joe Wieskamp, Jack Nungy, and Luka Garza. Those five guys might make up the best shooting starting five in the last decade of at least Big Ten basketball, maybe more than just Big Ten basketball. Frederick, 47% from three. Wieskamp was, you know what, 34% he ended off for the year. He really got cold down the stretch in a couple really bad games, but I think everyone knows and I think respects what he is capable of. And if they get Bohannon back, they're not going to be able to to chase down a lot of those guys and switch the way on those screens the way they did this year. If they got Frederick, Wieskamp, and Bohannon on the floor together, and Nungy, who's capable of stepping out and hitting him, and Luka Garza, who's, you know, definitely shown that he's capable of going outside and hitting some shots. So it's going to be all about defense. It could be all about if they can have a top 60, top 70 defense. That's an extremely dangerous team. And obviously we know but what Bohannon's capable of. So it's going to be really interesting to see if the team can stay intact. And I think that it's reasonable to at minimum, Sweet 16, Elite 8. We'll see past that because I don't want to speak too much without doing too much homework on a lot of other teams. But I don't see an Elite 8 being out of the question if Iowa gets everybody back and healthy and they get, you know, Patrick McCaffrey. I don't really think people realize how good of a player he is. He is a very talented player, high four-star coming out of high school. Obviously wasn't recruited very heavy because everyone assumed he was going to follow Connor and his, you know, Fran being the coach at Iowa. But he's a really talented player, so we'll see what happens there. But like I said, I think people need to really take into account what this team showed this year. They showed a lot of heart. They overcame a ton of adversity. And that was without me even mentioning CJ Frederick was out for six games this year with multiple injuries. It was a team that fought through a lot, and the 20 wins were very hard-earned. I mean, they had 7 wins over ranked opponents, 9 quad 1 wins, could have picked up a couple of more. And I do think if they would have won 2 or 3 games in the Big Ten tournament, let's say they won 2, I think they would have been at least a high 5 seed. If they went any farther, I think they could have worked their way up to a 4 seed. So, like I said, I think it's an unfortunate circumstance. I think everyone really understands that. And you know, we're going to see, I think, how important sports are to the social fabric of America. And I think a lot of people are going to learn a lot about themselves. Obviously, you know, for example, with me, this is my job. This is my livelihood. And it's going to be really just, I think, interesting to realize, I know it's my job and everything, but it's going to be interesting to just kind of really see how much of my life is consumed by sports and what we can do outside of that. So, don't mean to get too deep. I'm just kind of wandering around here because it's still kind of sinking in with me. And I think with many of you that we are going to be without sports for a while. Even, you know, for example, Iowa's Pro Day is canceled. That was going to take place March 23rd. We were, you know, we were going to meet with Kirk Ferentz March 24th. We're not going to be able to meet with him anymore. We are going to be able to talk to Gary Barta and Ferentz in the near future, but that might be by teleconference or video conference, because a lot of, you know, they're encouraging everybody to stay in their houses and not go out. And it's going to be a very interesting next few weeks, I think, until, you know, sports return, or at least some sort of sport returns, whether it be the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball getting started. You know, we could go on, and we'll see what happens with spring football. I mean, keep in mind, Iowa can't host recruits right now. Coaches aren't allowed to go out and recruit until at least mid-April, until we really realize what the next step of trying to contain the coronavirus is. So it'll be interesting to see if the college football, you know, the NCAA adjusts their schedule, the recruiting schedule, and what they do. We'll see what they do about the eligibility. I think the NBA is going to have a say in whether or not seniors can go back, or, you know, the NBA might have to move their workouts, because keep in mind that wouldn't only affect seniors. It would affect guys that, you know, want to put their name in the NBA draft and make a jump, but they really can't, because with the date set right now, you know, who knows what's really going to go on. They can't host workouts. The NBA Combine is supposed to take place in May, but there's so much unknown. I mean, it's really all just a jumbled mess right now. I won't try to add to that confusion. So I think there's just a lot to be figured out, and it'll be interesting to see when Iowa can resume, you know, start spring football practice, and how much time they'll actually get, because I think the whole calendar is a mess right now. So obviously, we'll keep you up to date. Hawkeyes on 24/7 Sports, HawkeyeInsider.com. Follow me on Twitter at David Eicholt, DavidEicholt. Sorry, this is a little bit of just kind of jumping from topic to topic. But like I said, I think it's still kind of sinking in what's really about to happen over the course of the next month. So I am going to try to get some guests on the podcast. I'm going to start projecting in the near future. I'm still going to do spring football coverage. I'm still going to preview what spring football is going to look like. We're going to do a lot of VIP analysis on HawkeyeInsider.com. We'll talk about it on the Swarmcast. We're going to get Sean Bock back in the mix, obviously a very big contributor to what we do at 24/7 Sports. So it'll be good to get him back on. So a lot is ahead. We have a lot of stuff planned, so stay tuned with us. Iowa coverage does not stop because there's no games. Again, 60% off an annual subscription, just over 10 cents a day. Really goes a long way with supporting what we do, and it helps bring us the best, most accurate, and in-depth coverage on the market. So we're going to put together a lot more Swarmcast in the future. I'm excited about that, and we're going to really dive into a few other things. But I felt it was important to just tell you about my experience in Indianapolis, what happened, kind of my final thoughts around the basketball season, and really just how unfortunate it is for those guys that work so hard to accomplish their goals and have their dreams fulfilled. Obviously an unfortunate end there, but that's going to do it for this episode of Swarmcast. For David Eicholt, Hawkeye Insider, and 24/7 Sports, we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.